Blog Talk Radio.
Love that music, but we have a show to do. How you doing? How you doing? This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer, if you will, your Sales and Profit Evangelist. We have a very special show. Thank you for listening. I not only have one guest, I have two guests, and one of those guests is a prince. We're going to go into a little bit deeper on that, but what we do, thank you again for listening in. We show you how to maximize your profits, your business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. Today we're going to talk about investing from the point of view of an investor, which is really good. So if you want to check out the website, it's www.bettersalesandprofitsnow. That's my website. That's www.bettersalesandprofitsnow. Get your pen and paper. Get it ready because you're going to learn a few things today. We want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. You can check out the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/E3C, or, again, you can find my podcast through www.bettersalesandprofitsnow. The call-in number is 646-716-7099. Again, that phone number is 646-716-7099. We're having a conversation with a prince. Prince Mahdi Al-Sassoui, if I pronounce that correctly, he'll correct me, I'm sure, in a minute. His Royal Highness, his family stretches from the Middle East to Africa. He has roots all the way back. I know of maybe one or two great-grandfathers. He's got many, maybe 25. And also, we have Ken Rands. Now, Ken Rands has Launch FN and also the National Association for Business Investors, I guess I got that right, and she matches angel investors with entrepreneurs. So today we're going to talk about investing in companies, and I think you're going to learn something. So, Karen, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, Ken. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
And Karen's website is www.launchfn.com. That's www.launchfn.com. And you have another website. Do you want to share one other website?
Sure. I'm going to have my angel investor hat on. That's the Network of Business Angels and Investors. And that's nbai.net for the Network Business Angels Investors. Sort of a country club for angel investors or individuals that invest in private companies. And so I'm real excited to be talking with the prince today because it's always interesting for me. I know how investors, successful men and women in the United States make their business decisions on what they're going to invest in, and we teach people that want to create wealth through private equity investing on how to grow their wealth in that area as that asset class. So to learn from the prince whose family has been doing this for years and he represents so many different types of investment funds and works with different, all different types of money. I'm really interested in learning what the prince has to say from his experience and learning about the investment decisions he makes.
So let me just give a brief bio from His Royal Highness. He is a leading financial advisor to the Middle East. He is co-founding member and manager of Washington Investment Capital. He has a long, distinguished career in private and investment banking. He structured and negotiated investments totaling over several millions of dollars. He didn't put a number on it, just over a million. And he's highly successful in deploying investment capital, yielding an above-average rate of return. He won't tell us that, but maybe if we really treat him right, maybe he'll tell us exactly what kind of return he's getting.
That would be Royal Highness, something that I will have to share with you.
Okay.
But it's better to say it that way.
All right. So, His Royal Highness, we'll just make it short and say Prince.
Okay.
I am fascinated by your background and history. I only go back maybe one or two grandfathers. But
oh.
You can talk with distinction of what you about your history. Would you like to share a little bit about your background and who we're talking with?
Well, my family background is very long in history. We are we ruled Libya before Gaddafi came to power. We were the ruling of Libya. We created Libya, actually. My family had the responsibility to create Libya. Also, we are the longest, oldest family because we come direct descendant of the Prophet of Islam. And if you go to Saudi Arabia, my family buried right there in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. We have been a major force. There's a mountain in my family name, schools in my family name, El Sanusi. There are millions and millions of people follow our family way of practicing Islam philosophy, which is based on tolerance and based on humanity, based on love. Is not the Islam that you read about. There are Muslims who are every day are doctors, lawyers, bankers, who, like all of us, they are very productive citizens in the world. That represent me too, because I'm one of them. And we've been a major force in the United States in investing here in America, whether through Sovereign Wealth Fund, whether through international investment that come from Middle East to provide economic opportunity, development in the United States.
Well, and what is the correct pronunciation of your name, Prince?
Mahdi El Sanusi. El Sanusi. A-L, as you can see it. Cap letter S-E-N-U-S-S-I. You can do Google on it, and you can find a lot of information about me.
All right. So His Royal Highness, the Prince. Now, your history stretches back to the Moors, you said?
All the way to the Moors. I have 43 great-grandfathers in history go all the way to the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad. And they also, among my family members, they ruled Morocco, Spain, the Moors who ruled Europe for 1,000 years.
Wow.
Right.
Okay. Wow. It is indeed an honor and a blessing to speak with you.
Thank you.
So, Karen, why don't you kick us off? Certainly you have some questions. It's probably about money and investing, I take it. So what questions
sure.
do you have for the Prince?
Well, how did you get started in investing? Well, did you get started working, you know, gaining your experience from within the family structure, or did you go outside the family structure and gain your first knowledge of investing?
Well, first, of course, I started very young with my family in the beginning because we are also at trading. I learned that in trading, buying and selling. And then as I grew up, I started working for major banks, and from the banks I went to work in an investment field in Wall Street in New York through a company called Right Investors, and I developed the skills in learning about finance and doing research and learning about banking and learning about companies to evaluate them to see which ones that have a possibility of growth, have a possibility of success. And I continued on that path.
Well, I noticed in your background that you spent a bit of time at an organization called Rafra Investment Advisory Group, where you worked with investing equity capital for high net worth individuals as well as financial institutions. And now, you know, you work with an investment banking firm and some international banking. So, take you know. take just a moment to explain sort of your perspective on the difference of when an individual makes an investment versus when you make an investment through a fund. You know, what's the difference in the decision process, whether when you've been advising or you're investing your own money, or when you're, you know, working with a fund making a recommendation for that?
Normally when I work with an individual sophisticated investor, they prefer they be a participant. They like someone to bring them the deal. They look at it, and if they like it, then they become a direct investment through a fund. A fund is normally you have discretion on the capital that have a specific objective, specific guidelines, and you invest it according to the requirements that the investors have given you those responsibilities to invest it in. So if I am, for example, going to buy a commercial building, I have a profile of an investor, and I would call him and I say, you know, you're looking for such a return. I have a commercial building that I would like, that I'm going to buy. It meet your criteria, your requirement, and then he will allocate his lawyers and bankers and investment professionals to work with me to get it done, to complete the transaction. A fund, I do have already allocated fund already in place, whether it's a committed capital or a callable capital, and we know exactly what they're looking for. We know what kind of return. So I just invested. Take it from that. I just take the money and I will invest the money directly to that particular project, whatever it may be.
Okay. So now I think you're unique in that you have an international perspective on investing. A lot of the investors that we work with within NBA and I are, you know, U.S.-based, and they like to invest in U.S. companies. So
right.
From your perspective, you know, there's often terrific opportunities to invest in, you know, opportunities that are coming out of emerging growth countries. You know, there's lots of, you know, innovation that is happening, whether it's in Europe or in India or these other places. So do you take a global perspective and maybe address a little bit about the difference in the decision process you might go through when you're looking at a U.S. company versus what we would call a foreign-based company, but, you know, a company that's not in the U.S.?
Well, when I am looking at a company in the United States, especially now, I think there's a lot of opportunity in America. There's a lot of, although in spite of the market and the current environment, it is shakeable, but we see a lot of growth. There are a lot of opportunities if somebody would like to take a long view on the U.S. So we see a lot of opportunity, especially if you are in real estate. We believe in the United States, you could pick a very good quality commercial building that have income producing, if you are interested in income producing properties. We also believe that if you would like to invest in medical research companies that have enormous upside in the future. And as you know, Karen, now we are very because of the oil prices very high, people start considering investing in alternative to oil. So we see a lot of opportunities in that field too. That's how I look at it. Now, if we go international, because the international, it depends where, but is, I think if you have a long-term view, we like to invest in Africa because we see Africa as a region that have enormous resources. They have gold, they have diamond, they have oil. And we, like Africa, we think in Africa there is a lot of opportunity if someone would like to invest in the natural resources, especially South Africa, especially to invest in Ghana. We see diamond, we see gold. They have discovered oil in Ghana. There's a lot of opportunity there. Also in tourism, like South Africa, like Senegal, like Madagascar, which is rich in natural resources and rich in wildlife. Namibia, the same thing. Now, if we shift manufacturing, you can look at Malaysia. Malaysia is the beacon of investment. We think there's a lot of opportunity in Southeast Asia. Vietnam, we like a lot. Also in South America, we like Brazil. And then in the U.S., as I mentioned to you before, there's a lot of opportunity here in the United States, especially in the medical and real estate and also in other technology fields.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you brought that up because that was one of the areas that Ken and I talked about diving into a little bit was in some of these, specifically in real estate. So you mentioned commercial markets, commercial properties.
Yes.
How do you right now when you have a turmoil in the marketplaces such as we have, how do you identify the good distressed opportunities that are going to, turn around and, recover?
Well, I like two things in real estate. I like to buy income-producing properties, solid. These are in it very strong tenants. Like, example, if you have a building whose your tenants are a federal government tenant, or you have a Fortune 500, and you are the landlord. Those companies are not going anywhere. They normally have a strong balance sheet, financially healthy. And they need to stay in that office space. So you buy these buildings and you lease them with a lease back. So you have an enormous upside. You can keep it as long as you want. And you may put that in, if you have a family, put on a family trust. And you should be able to live off it to finance your college, your children's education, your retirement, and your well-being, your lifestyle. So we like that. Also, there are other opportunities in real estate in development. Sometimes you find major company would like you for them to develop for them a headquarters, so they can. That will be their future headquarters. So that's the good money. It's very bankable. So as soon as you develop that building, they are not going anywhere. You have already an agreement for a lease for the next 10 years. So you have a monthly steady post income, and then the value of the land will increase too on top of it. So that's how these are the opportunity we look at right in real estate today.
So good. Well,
right.
And then it's interesting that you brought up about the alternative energy area as well, because I'm impressed that, given that there's probably a vested interest on your part or within the family's part on the petroleum aspect, but
right.
That you're, diversifying or, looking at these areas because it's inevitable that some of these alternative energy, they just have to become successful because just the nature of the consumption on a worldwide basis.
Yes.
So do you have some thoughts about, the sort of the difference between, the ethanol and the impact that that's having on the food markets with corn and wheat, being diverted towards this type of an opportunity versus traditional food and some of these other things like that? Your thoughts
on
that area?
We see a growth in ethanol. We believe that it will reduce also the pollution. We try very much to reduce our dependence on crude oil. But also, since we go in that direction, we will see that the cost of food will be higher in the future, and it's not already reflected now, because most of those corn and other items will be used for alternative energy, which is ethanol. Now, having said that, but keep in mind, we will never be freely independent from crude oil. We will always need crude oil. So we believe that there are opportunities in that, but it's still very early on to determine which of these companies will emerge and become a potential for investment. We have to wait and see to consider that aspect right now. I can tell you that I like the medical research, and I see that it's a great opportunity too there for breakthrough in getting medical research or treatment for like cancer, diabetes, and other diseases.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because that's typically such a long-term investment because they have to go through so many clinical trials, and it's really tough for these medical companies to, they've invented something that's truly breakthrough and remarkable, but to go get the capital to sustain themselves through all that testing process
there are some companies who are on the verge, they have like a cycle of two plus years to get an FDA approval, and then they're going to go to manufacturing to commercialize it. That's the one I'm looking at. I'm not looking at companies that I need to wait for them 10 years and 15 years. I look at companies who have a very short life before they become commercially viable, and because the investors would look for the money much sooner or later. I have to distinguish that. Government money, other companies, they can take 10 years. But individual investors, some institution, financial investors, they're looking for short term, 3 to 5 years. So my job as an investment professional, I have to look at companies who have a 3 to 4 years turnaround, and that's where I have an exit strategy to get them out in that period of time.
Right. So now, do you differentiate between sort of what we call the life sciences and the pharmaceuticals or a treatment versus a medical product?
Yes, I do. Pharmaceutical. For me, I like the one that who are going, for example, I'm just going to use you one example I'm looking at right now, of a company who is about 2 years away before they're going to go through the FDA to get an FDA approval. On the last cycle where they're going to do the lab testing on human, because they already passed the testing on animal, so they need to do testing on human. This particular company have found a way to treat cancer, not completely, but to when they do a chemotherapy, go all over the body. This one goes directly to the infected area, so the person doesn't lose their hair, doesn't change their look, it doesn't affect their whole being. So it goes directly to the area that affects it. So that is a major breakthrough. And they have also other applications where they can also treat surgery for anti-adhesion. So they don't leave a scar on the body whenever they do a surgery. So these are breakthroughs, you know. So we look at companies who have enormous upside commercial potential also. You get a report from other doctors that tells you this will change the entire medical practice. So these companies we look at very, very, very closely. I'm not interested in the one that going to be, we don't know in about 10 years or 5 years what it's going to look like now.
Well, very good, because I think we'll have some opportunities to talk after this, because I've got a couple of companies, a cancer treatment company that I'm working with, and a couple of companies that have gone through that testing. Some in some cases, they are revenue producing, and they're ready for the real go-to-market type of capital for commercialization. So,
right.
To say that. So, Dan, you're being awfully quiet over there. Don't you have some questions?
I was just letting the conversation go with the flow.
Okay.
But how are we on time, Prince? I think we have we're coming up on maybe 4 more minutes. It'll be 30 minutes.
I'm okay on time. That's what you know. I'm fine on time.
Okay.
Go
all right. Karen, I know you might have to go, but what other questions do you have that you'd like to ask the Prince, His Royal Highness?
Well, is there a difference in the way that the Islamic community might make investment decisions from the non-Islamic community?
Oh, yes. The way Islamic investment differ from the conventional investment is very different. We are, another word is for really social responsibility. We as Islamic investment, we do not invest in casino, like gambling. We don't invest in companies that do it like a hotel casino in Las Vegas. No, we don't. We don't invest in companies that manufacture cigarettes. Don't invest in companies that manufacture liquor, like Budweiser, Anheuser, whatever that name. We don't invest in them. We invest in companies that have very low leverage, very low debt. They have to be debt is low. They have to be like Apple computers, like Microsoft, telecom. We invest in companies, that kind of business. But we don't invest in, as I just mentioned, that's the difference between us and invest in the conventional, where they invest in anything, like insurance. We don't invest in insurance. It has to be intensive labor. It has to have an element of a social responsibility, benefit society. That's what we invest. These are the principle of Islamic investment. So that's to differentiate us from the conventional investment.
Yeah, we call that a double bottom line. Okay, you get the bottom line where you're looking for something that's going to be profitable, but then there's the sort of the unmeasurable bottom line of what value does it bring to humanity and to the marketplace.
Exactly. So that's the different Islamic investment. Is so we benefit. If I tell my people don't drink, don't do drugs, don't gamble. So I have to walk the walk and talk the talk. So I don't gamble. I don't invest in it because for the money. I'm not gonna invest in companies that do all those, as I mentioned before. Islam really is a culture of deed. It's a way of life, but it's also a culture of deed. You do what you say. So that basically comes down to the bottom line.
Terrific. Well, I have enjoyed my time with you today.
Thank you. I appreciate, and I look forward in meeting with you again.
Yes, I look forward to talking to you again and maybe send you some information about some of these companies that we're working with that sound like they might be of interest to you. And I was just delighted that Ken gave me the opportunity to get on the show with you and ask you a couple of these questions and share this with our own investor community and folks that, you know, wonder about somebody such as yourself that, you know, have such great experience and great insight into all, you know, from a worldwide perspective on the investment opportunities that are out there and through a different filter of how, you know, people can make money in investing in opportunities in other areas, in other countries, as well as in, you know, different emerging markets within an industry itself. So
thank you very much.
It's
a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, and I guess Ken is going to carry on. I know he's got some great questions he's going to ask you, and I'm going to have to listen back in and get to the second half of this when he asks you that the questions that he loves to always put people on their hot seat. You know, tell me something I don't know thing. And it's really interesting. I always love to hear the answers to those questions. So,
thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you.
All right,
Karen. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Karen Rand's Launch FN. Thank you very much, Karen. She's off and about. So I've got the big chair and the mic now. So I have a question for you, Prince.
Please, go ahead.
It's really interesting, your way of doing business, how you respect the investor and how the investor respects the person make the investment. So, and I understand there's no paperwork involved? Is it just a handshake and that's it? How does that work?
No. Of course there's paperwork involved, but you come to a meeting of the mind with the investor. I understand your need, I understand your objective, and I also learn about your strategy. Hopefully, having taken those all in consideration, then I put them into a format that we can implement them with you together to invest. So I know that we're always looking for liquidity. The investor, we don't take money and just not give you a return, investment, and liquidity as you go on. That's what distinguishes us from the pack. So we do provide opportunities where we take in consideration to be risk-averse. Our investments are primarily, we like to call them, very solid investments. These are investments that the investor can have a long-term growth and also stability in his financial structure.
Okay. So how long is the sales process for you? I guess it depends on the industry for me, but typically it's you have a meeting, you have a follow-up conversation. How long does it take for them to make a decision to do business with you?
Normally it takes really 3 days, 2 days. Because some of the people I know, I have a long-established relationship with. Mm-hmm. Remember, all the people that I do business with, these are long-established relationships, goes many, many years. If not, come from a long family relationship. I do not go on a cold call to anybody, I never will allow myself to do that. So that's how my relationships are normally, our friends. And individuals who are sophisticated investors. Some are institutions, some are individuals, and some are families. That's how we work with. That's who I do business with.
I guess I'm in the wrong business. I've been cold calling forever. I need to join your family. Is there any adoption options with your family? I'm open for adopting.
Okay, you're welcome. We have adopted many in our life. So. From wars, from countries, and mentor, and so on.
Okay.
I
have another question. I guess most of your investments or your clients have been, you've had long-term relationships. If somebody wants to approach you and has an investment, see, people are calling you already.
Don't worry about it.
If somebody wants to approach you, how do they do that? How do they approach you, because you're from
normally I have probably I've always like somebody that is recommended. I don't like people just come to me. Normally it's a friend recommended by a bank or by financial institution, investment firm, or can be a doctor who is he's a medical doctor. He introduced me to one of his clients. Sometimes my lawyers who I work with, they have a client or I do business with insurance because I need to insure my stuff. The insurance bring me customers that they know. It's a word of mouth. We don't go out and look for customers. We don't go out and just do a mass selling. We don't do that. This is not the way we operate.
Okay. And so if somebody wants, you have clients both in the U.S. and outside the U.S., you actively pursuing, clients within the U.S., and if they did that?
Well, in the U.S. it's different. They normally are introduced to me through a personal, some of them I know from, as I mentioned to you, from the law firm that we do business with, sometimes from the bank. Or sometime I get it come from really a personal relationship, introduction. Keep in mind, I don't go and look for a client. I don't need clients. It's just already my project or my investment track record speak for itself. So people sometimes, my accountant, the CPAs, auditors look at that, and they do audit and do accounting work for others. So they also bring me clients because they already vented, already checked or bet out my project. So they know.
All
right. Ask them, do you know or do I'm not? I don't do that. I'm not looking for that.
I'm in the wrong business.
Right.
All right. Anyway, so do's and don'ts for investing. What are maybe a couple of do's in terms of investing? You've talked about not investing in alcohol and gambling.
Right.
What other do's do you have in terms of investments that lead to making the right investment for you and your clients? What kind of things you want to look out for when you're investing? Money for your clients, maybe some do's and don'ts, things that you definitely want to look
I
for.
Don't when I look out for my client I try to protect my client principal. That's what I do. My number one priority is that how the capital is protected. That's what I do. I look at the company's stability. I look at the management, if the management experience. The company track record on investment. All those factors are taken consideration, and then I try as much as I can to get guarantees against my investment from them, or insurance to protect the principal of my investment. So priority to me for my investor. I don't like a company that's highly leveraged, full of debt. Also a company that is short-term strategy, I avoid all of that. So these factors, I take them very, very, very serious.
So the noted investor, Benjamin Graham, very famous investor, he wrote a book, I can't recall the title of it. In my past life, I was a certified financial planner for 10 years. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was my first love back in the 80s. That's where I got my start. I guess two other questions before we let you go. I always ask this question. Karen loves it. I always ask the question, tell me something that we don't know. Tell me something I don't know. And that is, what is a business fact or a prediction based on your industry? You've been in the investment world for such a very long time. So tell us something, a business fact or prediction based on your industry or what you know, your outlook and your education experience?
People, I find that people, that's a very tall order, but let me put it to you like this.
Okay.
You can design investment or financial project where your principal is safe. You can do that. People don't know. Number two, you can find opportunities outside of the United States as much as lucrative as is in the United States. For example, I'm shocked to find that people think that there's no booming in the Middle East. Well, look at Dubai. Look at Abu Dhabi. In the Middle East is a booming economy. The growth is superseded anywhere in the world. So you can also create, you can design investments for your client in a way that's exactly the way you want them to be. And also you make everybody happy. That's what I found out, that people don't think there is that opportunity.
All right, so you mentioned something. What makes a really good environment in terms of the environment? I always like to say, in terms of political standing, you want an environment where there is low taxes and low regulations and low litigation.
Right.
What are your feelings on taxation and litigation and regulations on investments?
Well, here it is. It depends what country you're in, but you have to adapt and adjust in every situation you are in. If you decide to invest in any such a country that have high taxes or high regulation, then you need to work with international banks and institutions or law firms to design you a vehicle to go in, so where you minimize all your risk, and you can go in and full force to implement your investment. So there's many ways you can do it by going through designing an investment vehicle where you can fit in and take advantage and protect your wealth, and also you kind of avoid all these pitfalls that they put ahead of you or in front of you.
That's real interesting. When you have people that have large sums of money,
right,
risk and protection of principal are so very, very important for Americans and people outside the United States. Isn't it kind of scary that when people say, okay, I'm going to invest $100, I think that's your minimum, up to, $600 million. How do you help people not worry about their investment? Because they're not, maybe it's people that live in the United States and they want to invest in, in the Middle East, or they invest in Africa. How do you calm them and say, we're going to take care of this money and you'll be successful?
Well, if you're talking about in the Middle East and Europe, Americans are famous to invest in that sum of money, especially in the oil industry. They invest billions of dollars in Nigeria, in Saudi Arabia, especially in Algeria for natural gas. So it depends on the project. And what you do, the second step, if you are an American, you're going to invest that kind of money overseas. United States government have something called OPIC, Overseas Private Investment Company or Corp, where they can give you an insurance against political risk or against your money being seized. And then you buy also you can use other government or private sector companies, a bond that protects you so your money can be safe. And three, these countries have to look in their laws, and they have to give you guarantees against your investment so they don't freeze it or something of that nature. But today the world is so transparent, there is very little that any country can do that, you know, kind of wipe away or take away your project, or doesn't, or there's risk. You know, people are, we all are very sophisticated today, very geopolitically knowledgeable. So we can definitely design the risk so we don't get trapped in it, political or economic risk.
Yeah, that was a question that I thought about in terms of government takeovers and you know, you've got your company over there, you've got money invested, and how do you manage that? You've got the expertise and the experience in doing that, so
yes,
I guess you've got that in hand. So I guess the last thing I want to ask, we're out of time. I appreciate the time in answering all of our questions. What is it, in terms of Washington Investment Capital, your accomplishments, and what makes your company so unique?
Well, I think unique because we have a relationship on both sides of the world, here and overseas. And number two is experience. And number three, we always do what we know best. We don't try to do things that we don't know. We try to do what we know best. And this is real estate investment and international business. That's what we do. We don't try to be, say, we are not a high-tech firm. We are not a medical company. And we are not into, you know, oil business. So we do what we do best. And that's why we are unique. And also, finally, we are very flexible. And we bring enormous experience because all of us are internationally educated and have experience and background.
Wow. Well, I have other questions, but we've run out of time. And thank you so very much. If somebody wants to contact Washington Investment Capital, how do we get a hold of you?
Please be. You may call Melinda Duxworth. She is Vice President of Operation at 202-463-1991.
Okay, so that's Melinda Duxworth at 202-463-D-U-C-K-S-W-O-R-T-H. All right, and the phone number is 202-463-1991. Okay,
correct.
So as we wrap up, what do you want our listeners to understand about Washington Investment Capital and yourself?
I want them to understand that don't be afraid. There are great opportunity in this current market. There is the prosperity right around the corner. They are everywhere, and I want them to know that we are an investment real estate and investment banking firm, Washington D.C., and we do business also internationally.
Wow. Okay.
That's what I wanted to know.
His Royal Highness Prince, thank you so very much for taking some time and answer our questions. It's been a blessing. I really, really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Same here. I'm glad that you and I have a chance to chat and share our knowledge and experience with your best client everywhere, and I hope you and I have a chance to meet again.
Oh, we got to do this again and again. So I've got other questions, but we're out of time. But so thank you so very much, and you got to come back real soon, and we'll talk more. I'm interested in finding out how you work with other countries and other businesses, and how do you establish that trust and that communication. But that's another show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, thank you so very much.
Bye-bye,
Prince,
Ken.
His Royal Highness. All right. Bye-bye. Excellent. Oh, this was a great show. I really, really, really love this. Anyway, that's what it's all about. The Passion Entrepreneur, we're connecting you with great people who are doing wonderful things in the investment community and the business community. So check out. You never know who's going to be on the call next time. So anyway, that's the show. So what did you learn? A lot about investing and money, international, how things work. So more importantly, how are you going to apply this? Maybe call Washington Investment. Call Melinda to see how that works for you. You've got $100,000 minimum or maximum, what, $600 million? I think they can handle your funds very, very well. Anyway, this is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. Specifically, what action steps are you going to implement? How are you going to improve your business and increase your profitability? I'm certain you learned something, you took some notes, and you're ready to implement that. So take action. So if you want a free consultation, you want to evaluate your company's profitability, first 5 to 10 callers, give me a call, and I will do a profit assessment on your company. Just go to Better Sales and Profits Now. There's Better Sales and Profits Now, and sign up for that. Also, too, if you want some new ideas and strategies, we have a newsletter, Better Sales and Profits Now. You can go to bettersalesandprofitsnow.com, sign up. Or if you want to connect with other entrepreneurs, passionate entrepreneurs and business owners, join E3C, MBC Connect. Last year, we connected over 500 businesses, and then this year, we're up to about 450 businesses. We meet typically every Tuesday from 8 to 9, the invitation only. So now we can't get everybody. We can't sneak everybody in. You can't sneak in. You have to apply and see whether or not you've got the goods. Okay, so go to mybusinesscommunity.com. That's My Business Community Events. Check out the weekly announcement, and you can sign up. Again, it's invitation only. So in wrapping up, you listen to this program. You love it. We've got, what, 3,300 downloads last week. Give us a call. Rate the show. The show that gives you great exposure. So lastly, as we wrap up, dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, stay profitable, and go make that sale. Brian Huntley, New Wine Music, take us out.